This is Wednesdays with Walton on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. In just a moment, you'll hear from Brian Walton as we break down the Cardinals' winter warm-up. Got to tell you about the doctors of Blue Tail Medical Group, and they are some of the nation's top experts in the fields of sports medicine and stem cell regenerative therapy. So when people hear about sports medicine, they think the disabled list, they think about surgery to replace joints so that they can't throw a football or they can't throw a baseball. They're going to miss considerable time. Well, Doctors Bays, Crane, and Wolf, they are experts in stem cell regenerative technology. So we're talking about your own body's stem cells redirected to concentrate all of their power into the joints that cause you pain. So whether you're a high school athlete, a veteran, or your joints have been worn by age, arthritis, old injuries, your body still has the ability to heal itself. So before you have surgery, think about Blue Tail Medical Group. Schedule an appointment today, 636-778-2900. So before surgery, call them, 636-778-2900. Visit them at BlueTailMedicalGroup.com. As we do every Wednesday, it's a chance to visit with Brian Walton of TheCardinalNation.com as we always talk baseball. And the winter warm-up is come and gone, but still a lot of info that has been dispersed by the organization over the weekend. We're going to dive into that with Brian Walton of TheCardinalNation.com. As always, Brian, happy Wednesday to you. How are things going?
Well, I'm doing fine, Dan. I got to admit, you know, in a normal January by now, 3 weeks into the year, I would have already had a trip down to Jupiter for our instructional camp and would have had the opportunity to see you and many other folks, you know, in St. Louis for winter warm-up. And unfortunately, neither one of those came to pass, but hopefully we'll be able to make up for this lost ground later in the year.
Yeah, we're missing it, but still info to get into with the minor leagues and with the Major League Club. And there are interviews posted at Cardinals.com/WWU if you want to see some of these interviews. But there are some major topics with all guys. So I'm going to start with Bill DeWitt Jr. What stood out with that in terms of, hey, 162-game season, lost revenue, Yadi Bueno? What really jumped out at you with that visit with Bill DeWitt Jr.?
Well, I thought he was very candid about some of the rules changes that were made during the year. He mentioned, you know, why he liked the seven-inning, you know, doubleheaders, that it was enjoyable to watch, and, you know, the sense of urgency earlier in the game and the fact the players seemed to like it as well. He, you know, was begrudgingly sort of, you know, accepted the designated hitter that, you know, especially with the Cardinals, you know, they, a team that needs more offense, that's an advantage to them, and it took the pitchers out of injury situations. He likes the extra inning rule. And again, you know, it doesn't beat up the players as much. So, you know, his take was, you know, he thought that a number of these, you know, could come back, and they probably will. He was very, very demonstrative about the goal of the Cardinals to play 162 games. And of course, what they want to do is get as many fans in the ballpark as possible. And so, you know, they're looking at different ways to do that. And Bill DeWitt the Third talked more about that. But, you know, he also reiterated that they're expecting that, you know, that 2020 was tough for all clubs, and, you know, it's going to be tough again. But that, you know, they're doing what they can to ensure that that fans can get in the ballpark safely and as many can see as possible. I thought you did a great job with him, you know, discussing Wainwright and Molina, because he sort of touched on it once, but then you came back to it. And I actually wrote down his comments because I thought they were very telling. Of course, he talked about them being iconic Cardinals and, you know, wonderful teammates and leaders. But he also said, and, you know, I'm talking about Bill DeWitt Jr., said, we have made both of them offers, but if other teams offer more, they may choose to take it. And so that, you know, he certainly was very clear that he wants them back, but he also did not say, hey, we're going to go outbid the market. We've, you know, made our offers to them, and now we're going to see, you know, what happens.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, and we'll, you know, see. Time will tell. You just get the feeling that around baseball, now that we know, hey, we've got an end in sight in terms of the end of the off season and the beginning of spring training, that some of these dominoes are going to fall, and that would mean probably a decision one way or another with Yadi and Bueno, those two.
Yes, but at the same time, you know, in John Mozeliak's session, you know, who before, you know, John Mozeliak was widely quoted as saying that January is the new December. But when he spoke, and you went into great detail, almost 30 minutes with him, So I, you know, definitely encourage fans to go there and listen to the whole thing. But he brought up the, you know, the Kyle Loesch situation, which a lot of folks may remember back, I don't know what, 7 or 8 years ago. He signed in mid-March. Literally, there were just like less than 2 weeks left in camp before the team broke. And Mozeliak's words were, I wouldn't be shocked if that kind of thing happened again. Now, again, that was not a specific reference to Wainwright and Yachty. It could have been to something else, but I think most of us expect that the number of additions that the Cardinals bring in from outside beyond Wainwright and Molina is probably not going to be that great.
I find it really interesting in that visit with him, how he approached the outfielders of the Cardinals. And what I found interesting was, hey, we saw Rosarena. We didn't have at bats for him. He went somewhere else. He becomes a star in October. We miss out on that. I don't want to see that. I'm paraphrasing, but I don't want to see that happen with guys that we have now. And I don't know if that struck you, but it certainly struck me.
Well, again, I wrote down his words. He said, I don't know if it was my greatest fear or our greatest fear, but the greatest fear is not giving our current outfielders a chance. And, you know, it's pretty clear. I mean, he didn't say, we're not going to go out and sign Jock Pedersen or, you know, somebody else. But he pretty much said, hey, you know, we've got to give our guys a chance. And he also said, hey, you know, 2020 for a number of reasons really didn't, you know, count. It didn't really help us answer those questions, and they've got to get that solved. So, again, you know, you read between the lines, and that doesn't exactly sound like they're ready to, you know, go bring in a big bat from the outside to play in the outfield.
Did you find it interesting as well that he mentioned that 80 guys could be in camp? Now, you can get spread out down in Jupiter because of all the fields. The complex would be tight, but you could get the work in because of the fields. I just found it, when you have the virus still around and you don't want to congregate, I thought, man, if they have spring training, you'd have maybe the 25-man roster or the 40-man roster, and that's who'd be down there. But you forget, if you're going to have a normal spring training, you got split squads. There's a lot of things you got to take care of. You got to get bodies down there. And 80 guys, that's a lot of players, Brian.
Yeah, I mean, that's really, you know, basically a normal spring camp, a high end of a normal spring camp. And the point on fields is that, you know, they're not going to have minor league spring training going on at the same time. So they've got fields 1 through 6 plus the half field that all these guys could be spread out on. And, you know, they'll do, I'm sure Mike Schilt and the coaching staff will do a good job in optimizing how the players use their time and minimize, just like they did in 2020, minimize the amount of time that they have to spend at the ballpark, but still get through a big spring training. On the other point you made, I think it's like the second, and maybe the second day, certainly the first weekend of spring training, they had that first split squad game where, you know, they've got to have two full rosters of players ready to play 9-inning games each. So, you know, they're going to have to put the pedal to the metal starting on February 17th when pitchers and catchers report to Jupiter.
Gary LaRocque is the director of player development for the Cardinals. Obviously an interesting year for him when you had the minor league shut down. He talked about the fact that there could be a lot of rust on some of these players. He talked about there could be a piggyback system for pitchers. What stood out for you as you heard from Gary LaRocque?
Yeah, he really, you know, he was really focused on how to build up the players so that, you know, in the individual programs that they need, so that when they get them to camp, you know, they'll be able to give the maximum value. Now, you know, Gary acknowledged that guys who pitched 120, 150 innings in 2019, you know, they weren't able to replicate that last year. So you can't expect them to pitch 120 or 150 again in 2021. And so that means they have to be very, and that's, you know, the pitching side is going to be much more delicate probably than the hitter side in terms of that management. So that's where the idea of a 6-man rotation, something that they used early in the season several years ago. I personally, again, and Gary LaRocque did not say this specifically, but my take would be a 6-man rotation might be something you'd want to try at the high levels of the system like Memphis, where you've got still have guys stretched out so that if they're needed for St. Louis, you know, they could be ready. But the other option is piggyback starter, and that's where or tandem, where two pitchers are on the same schedule and one pitches maybe 4 innings ahead of the other one with 3 innings, and then the next time they flip. One advantage to that is guys don't have to pitch as deeply into the games, but an advantage that a lot of people don't think about If you have a five-man rotation with piggyback, that is 10 starting pitchers that you can keep stretched out and in a starting role. And let's face it, in 2020, they didn't have a lot of opportunity to evaluate these guys. And, you know, they need to see these guys pitch in game situations to figure out, okay, who are going to be the guys that are going to be starters in the future, and which are the guys that are going to have to go to the bullpen. So the piggyback would give them not only a workload advantage, but also an evaluation advantage, keeping more guys starters in these four full season clubs that are going to play this summer.
I'm going to be fascinated if major league clubs do this too. I wonder if some major league teams are going to be tempted to do this as well.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. You know, one of the things that would certainly help that is if they increase roster sizes. And, you know, one of the many questions we don't know about this coming season is, will they be 26? Will they go up to 28 again? What will they do? But, you know, there's an argument to be made to say, hey, to conserve pitching, you know, having those two extra roster spots would be a really smart thing to do. But again, lacking that, what we're going to see is, you know, probably not to the extent when, you know, with all the doubleheaders they had in 2020, but still, you know, we'll see a lot of movement, you know, up and down I-55 between St. Louis and Memphis to keep fresh pitchers available.
Yeah, there's no question that's going to happen. Randy Flores runs the draft. He talked about how they were aggressive in this year's draft, how it approaches next year's draft, not being able to get out as much with COVID. I found his comments pretty interesting and in how they try to just go out and look at players. It's not ideal, but it's what they have to do.
Yeah, Randy Flores talked about started off by talking about the 2020 draft and mentioned that he called Jordan Walker, third baseman Jordan Walker, a surprise pick. And obviously wasn't a surprise for the Cardinals, but I think, you know, other organizations or, you know, other watchers of the draft figured, oh, the Cardinals will take a college pitcher because that's what they always do. Well, they didn't. And they not only picked Walker, but then they followed up with two more high school picks in Mason Wynn and Tank Hentz. And he said the reason they did that was they thought coming into the draft that because it wasn't a normal spring and the players were not as scouted as much as usual, especially the high schoolers, that some of these guys might drop more than they would have in a normal draft. And so that's why the Cardinals leaned into the wind to take these guys who have more upside, but, you know, certainly are a little bit higher risk. And then, you know, as they got to the middle of the draft and, you know, the middle of five rounds, seven picks, you know, they again then went to two more, I guess, safer traditional college pitchers. So it was a nice balanced draft. You know, for the St. Louis Cardinals in 2020.
No doubt.
He also talked about Dylan Carlson. You asked him a very good question. That is, you know, the proud papa question, right? When you're, you know, when your guys, the guys that your scouts selected and you ultimately had to make the decision to pick, you know, when they make the majors, how do you feel? And I thought Randy Flores shared some interesting insight on Dylan Carlson, who was his first, you know, pick as a scouting director in 2016. And he was a guy that a lot of folks didn't expect would be in the first round. Thought maybe the Cardinals were doing that to save money or something else. And so I think he had a special, you know, little bit of pride and vindication that, hey, that Dylan Carlson pick, you know, seems to have come out pretty darn well.
Yeah, I think it worked pretty darn well is right. Bill DeWitt III, capacity for fans in the stands. And there's going to be fans in the stands. But he mentioned it's kind of a situation of geometry. And basically you get to be about 28% in the lower bowl, and then after that, it gets cut off because you can't get 6 feet apart, and then once you get to 28%, it's going to be either that or full capacity. I found that really interesting.
Yeah, and that pretty much sums it up. He was asked, you know, will you have some kind of phase program where you go from 10 to 20% to 30%, and he said, no, not really. As you have clusters of two or four tickets together, you've got to keep those clusters 6 feet apart. And as you said, the math gets out to roughly 28% of capacity. He said anywhere from 8,000 to 12,000 per game. And the only way they could really increase that is if they could bring fans closer than 6 feet. And that's probably not going to happen. What instead will happen, we hopefully at some point in time, is enough people will be inoculated and, you know, things will open. And of course, the local health officials will allow them to open up and maybe in the second half of the season to more of a full capacity environment. That's what the Cardinals are hoping. And of course, you know, it's no secret that they want that revenue. They need that revenue from, you know, from the fans, but they're going to play the season and hope for the best.
Brian Walton of thecardinalnation.com. One of your expertise on your site is covering the minor leagues and how this is all going to come together. And you've got this morning a really in-depth interview of how, or not interview, but at least a in-depth look of how this all may come together. How did you all come about the different steps of looking at how 2021 may come together for the minor league season?
Well, there's a number of things that are being discussed, informally among people in the game. Baseball America provides great coverage inside, of course, and there was things that were said in some of the sessions in winter warmup that, caused me to, make a little few notes and sit up straight. And so I kind of put all these things that were in my head together. And I start with the situation of the agreements that have to be in place, the professional development license between Major League Baseball and the minor league teams. Until those licenses, get in the hands of the teams, and they are, but it's only been the last week or 10 days. Now the minor league teams have to evaluate them and say, okay, do I want to sign this? Because they're asking me to commit, X number of dollars for these types of improvements to my facility over time, which is goodness for the players. But there are a lot of, there are a lot of questions about these 120 teams that they, they're going to have to sign on the dotted line. And until they do, until those minor league teams all sign those agreements, you don't have leagues. And if you don't have leagues, you don't have schedules. And if you don't have schedules, you can't sell tickets. And if you can't do that, you can't have a minor league season. So, there's this backdrop of all this stuff going on in the background about the, consolidation of minor leagues that has to get resolved. Because at the major league level, right, we know in the first spring training games, 27th or 28th of February, whatever, we know when the regular season is going to begin. The minor leagues have none of that.
What do you think the season is going to look like? I know it's a tough – very, very tough question to answer at this point. But as you kind of read between the lines, what do you think a minor league season might look like at the lower levels?
Well, it looks, Dan, like at the major league level, they'll bring in the AAA guys. So, and we talked before about that, 75 to 80 players in camp. That's basically going to be the guys who will make St. Louis, the guys who will make Memphis, and a few others. But and because of the continuing issue of the virus and keeping people distanced, they will not bring in the minor leaguers in March like they normally do. They're going to wait and bring them in after St. Louis and the Memphis teams vacate the complex. Well, that puts them at least a month late, so that rather than starting in April, they're going to start in May. Then you have the short season players. Their season normally starts the middle of June. But by the way, in 2021, the draft has been moved to July, to All-Star Weekend, not till the middle of July. So now your short season, which now is just down with State College of Johnson City out of the picture, that's only the Gulf Coast League. I mean, those guys, even if they signed right away, would have a season of only 6 weeks or so. So there's rumors that they're considering some other approaches that would allow these drafted players to get some experience, but not maybe in a traditional league function as we know it. But for the primary minor league teams, and I'm talking about the four full season teams, Memphis, Springfield, Peoria, Palm Beach, those, even though the three of those leagues will start late, there's talk that they'll play into September instead. And probably because of the travel issues, they will not play in the playoffs. They'll also, if rumors are right, will play a more restrictive schedule, sort of like the Cardinals did last year, where they really only played in their division, which cut down on travel and, potential exposure to the virus.
Where I really get concerned, though, is the business aspect of this. They are so reliant on fans in the stands, and if you can't get fans in the stands, I'm not sure how you can have a season. It's one thing to say we want to play, and I get it, but if you don't have fans, you don't have revenue, and it's zero.
Well, yeah, and in the Cardinals system, there's kind of two kinds of minor league teams, in a way, right? There are the ones that are owned by the parent Cardinals, and here I'm talking about Springfield and Palm Beach. And so, if the Cardinals want them to play, they will play, period. Now, Memphis and Peoria, have independent ownership.
Right.
But I checked with one of those clubs in fair amount of detail, and they've said, hey, we understand the importance of our role in the player development for the Cardinals. We don't want to play with an empty ballpark, but if we have to do it, we're willing to do it to help the Cardinals. So, that just gives you some kind of feeling for the partnership that exists out there. Again, none of the minor league teams want to, play in empty stadiums, but they're willing to do it if that's what's necessary to get baseball going on time.
Interesting. Well, you have that article this morning, and what else is happening right now as we wrap it up with Brian Walton at thecardinalnation.com?
Well, yesterday we have an in-depth report, as we do every Tuesday, on the Cardinals players playing in winter ball. Carlos Martinez, we talked about last week, had opted out of an important game, but came back, pitched well after a rough first inning in his outing. And his club and that of Edmundo Sosa is going to be going on to the Caribbean Series to represent the Dominican Republic. Yadier Molina is playing in not catching, but he's doing some first base designated hitting and even pitched an inning in a blowout. And so we have the video up of Yadier facing, I don't know, half a dozen batters as a pitcher. And he definitely looked like a catcher on the mound, not a pitcher. So I don't think he's going to give up his day job. But, and then the other thing that I'm going to pick back up on probably tomorrow on Thursday is we're still doing analysis of our top 50 prospect list. And there's some work yet to be ahead on the tools of the individual players and looking at them as a group to say, you know, based on the, based on the five tools for hitters, you know, which guys look like they have the best run tool, which guys look like they have the best power tools, you know, and it's kind of take a different cut at the top 50, and the same on the pitching side as well, right? Who has the best fastball, who has the best curveball, who's the command and control guy. So, continue to come to the Cardinal Nation every day and get new news, fresh news that's not being written anywhere else about the Cardinals and their system.
Awesome stuff, Brian. Thank you so much. We'll catch you up next Wednesday.
Sounds good, Dan.
That's Brian Walton of thecardinalnation.com.